You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, I want to welcome everybody, downtown campus, Siena, Cypress, Digital Family, Loop as well. And if you got a Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be there in a few moments. But while you're getting there, 2 years is we're into a thing called kainos. It's the Greek word for new. And so we started this before the beginning of the new year. And it's been an incredible thing. And what we want to do is we want to show you about once a month, a video or something about what's going on and how kainos is already changing lives and making a huge difference. We had overwhelming support with our goal. We blew our goal out of the water, which was so great. And so I want you to see this video today of what we're doing in the Harwin area of our city. We've had a faith center there for many years now, and we've been using that to be able to minister to folks. And one of the particular ways we've been ministering lately has been with Afghan refugees, those that have fled Afghanistan. Now, I know there's so many crises in the world. We can a lot of times have compassion fatigue, and we can't even remember back to the previous crisis, but there are still folks here that are suffering from Afghanistan. It's still going on, and we're still ministering to them. And as we're focused on Ukraine now and all of those things, and we'll pray for that in just a moment, and that's very important to be focused on. But to know that God is still doing with what happened in a crisis months ago, your church, my church, our church has been ministering in amazing ways, and we have even more vision for being able to do that in the Harwin area of our city. So let's watch this video together.
Flights of evacuees are leaving out of Kabul once again.
Houston is set to welcome Afghan refugees to a new life on U.S. soil.
We learned today that dozens of Afghan refugees are already here in Houston.
Sometimes when we have a big influx or a big crisis, it tends to become sometimes like a project. And this is not a project. These are people. When I came here initially, we had a lot of Burmese and Nepalese especially who lived in apartments right across the street. Over the years, the clients have changed somewhat in their ethnicities. Maybe 3 to 4 years ago, we did have some people from Afghanistan who came to the pantry.
Refugees have been resettling in Houston since 1975. In pre-crisis, over 50% of the refugees that we served were from Afghanistan. So this is not a new situation. What is new is the pace that they are arriving at and the numbers that they are arriving at. So since August, when Kabul fell, over 5,000 people have fled Afghanistan and made Houston their permanent home.
Initially, we would find people in an apartment complex, sometimes without anything. They would be dropped by the resettlement agency who hadn't yet started their services. From our own pantry supplies, we started taking things to help them.
I've gotten to go into some apartments and they literally have nothing. They ask for a couch and they don't have plates or silverware. It's heartbreaking.
Some refugees will experience the onset of symptoms of PTSD that were shut off while they were in survival mode.
There's been times just in the last couple of weeks, actually, where I've sat with a family and I've seen grown men sobbing. They're inviting me into their space and their personal lives that have held so much trauma. At First Baptist got involved in being able to get some food kits together through the Life Bible Study classes, and that's still ongoing. We've had people that have been so generous in donating couches and tables and mattresses, and we need people who drive trucks. So we have a whole truck ministry, I guess, where and oftentimes when that happens, just Christy was saying, the family will ask you to take tea. Now people are thankful for what they get, and so they just want you to sit down and enjoy a cup of tea with them.
People are using all their skills. They're creating spreadsheets and gathering people to send out.
It's more than just giving them shower materials, sponges, things like that. It's building true friendships and friendships that can be a bridge to sharing the gospel.
We're not going to just be here today and gone tomorrow. So we're in it for the long run. There's many people who haven't been doing ministry among different refugees. I said, they know we're Christians. And they're like, how? And I said, well, they know. they've never seen a bunch of people come and deliver food and come at all hours of the day and night.
Deuteronomy 10:18 through through 19 says, God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, loving the foreigner residing among you, giving him clothes and food. Welcoming refugees gets you out of your comfort zone. You might feel inconvenienced or stretched, but this is good for your soul.
Pray that we would have opportunities to sit and to build these relationships and to have tea.
Pray for the refugees. They are coming here. They are new to our country. They're facing many challenges. So just pray for strength and energy for them and soft hearts as they make new friends.
Ministering to refugees in the Houston area is a daily, consistent part of Faith Center Harwin's ministry. Because of your generosity, we've been able to reach out to the Afghan population in Houston in a time of crisis. We are looking forward to continuing in this ministry to Afghans and people from many other parts of the world with the acquisition of a brand new property. The number of people we serve has grown beyond what our rented space can accommodate. But we intend to express God's heart for the refugee for years and years to come. Thank you for being part of the kainos things that God has for His church.
It's amazing what God is doing through our city and through our church, and we want to be a part of that. And as Clark said at the end of the video, that we have had a rented facility for the last 5 years, and it's been amazing to be able to have that. But now we're outgrowing that with the ministry we're doing. And a part of Kainos is we want to purchase a facility. And it's part of the money that we've raised and we put before you. And so we want to purchase a facility. And so what I want us to do is I want us to pray as a church that God would provide the right facility. We've been looking at them. We've been seeing them. And it's kind of like trying to buy a house. You just see a lot of them and it's just not the right one to be able to have the right thing, but that you would pray. So I'm bringing you in, not into finished product. I'm bringing you into, we need prayer for God to lead us to the right place so that we can minister to these Afghan refugees. And, you know, I don't know much, but it sure looks like we're going to be in a few months ministering to Ukrainian refugees as well. And so we want to be ready for whoever God brings us as a church that we can minister and care for these folks that are away from their home and don't have anything, and we can share the love of Jesus Christ with them. So I want us to pray together, and then we'll jump into our message. Father, we come in Jesus' name as a church, Lord, all campuses, digital family as well, united, and we just tell you and ask you, Lord, I should say, we ask you, God, would you provide the right place for us, Lord? The right facility at the right cost, at the right location, so that we can just be a bright light in a part of our city that most of us don't live in, that most of us don't drive through much, but we want to be a mission site, Lord, a bright light to these folks. You have brought the world to our city, God, and we want to be faithful on mission with it, and so we lift that up to you, God. We pray, Father, for the things that are happening in Ukraine right now. Lord, we pray for the people that are fleeing, God, that you would do miracles, things that we wouldn't see on the news, but we'll see one day in heaven, that you'd move in a great way, Father. You would push back evil, Father. You'd speak to the Russian leadership's heart, to Putin's heart, Lord. Father, we pray that you would protect people, that you would bring peace, God. We ask for that, Jesus. We lift it up to you, God. It burdens our heart, Father, and we pray that you would just make a way, Father. Again, we know we won't see everything, but we want to see you move. And we trust you, God, and we pray for that today. And may we be a church that cares for people in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you ever want to know more information, you can text KINOS to 81411. And we'll send you two links. One will be a link so that you can give. We talked about that earlier. But another is a link where you can go to our Kainos page and see this video again, see the video we showed about Africa about a month ago as well, and be a part of what God's doing on an ongoing basis through Kainos. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 talking about the wisdom of Solomon. But before we get there, I don't want you to turn there, but I want to show you where this whole thing begins. You can't talk about Solomon without talking about wisdom. And you can't talk about wisdom without talking about Proverbs. In the 31 chapters of Proverbs, wisdom is mentioned 52 times in 31 chapters. Now, we're reading Proverbs together as a church. There's a little thing on the bottom of your listening guide. We'll send you a link if you hit the QR code every morning at 9 o'clock, and we're just reading on whatever day it is, we're going to read that proverb. So March 6th, we're going to read Proverbs 6. March 7th, we're going to read Proverbs 7. And we're going to go through Proverbs just a little bit in our speaking, but in our reading, we're going to hit the whole thing. This week will be Proverbs 3. Next week will be Proverbs 4. Next week after that, I'll be speaking on Proverbs 5 on how to affair-proof your marriage. So parent alert, read Proverbs 5 and see if your kids should be in that zone for that message to be able to have that. But when you talk about Proverbs and you talk about Solomon, you're talking about wisdom. Where did Solomon gain his wisdom? Well, it's actually found in 1 Kings. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. He has a dream and God says, what do you want? Can you imagine if God was to ask you, what do you want? What would you say? What would you declare? Here's what Solomon did. He said, so give your servant a receptive heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had requested this. That's pretty cool. And then he says this. So God said to him, because you have requested this and did not ask for long life or riches for yourself or the death of your enemies, but you asked for the discernment for yourself to administer justice. I will therefore do what you have asked, and I will give you a heart and of wise. I will give you a wise and understanding heart so that there has never been anyone like you before and there never will be again. Basically, you're going to be the wisest man that ever lived. So he says, well, what do you want? And because you didn't ask for wealth, because you didn't ask for long life, because you didn't ask for the death of your enemies. Now, I think that's really interesting that God would say, these are the top three humans want, right? We want revenge, we want money, and we want to live forever, all right? We want to be the rich, young ruler is what we want. And he says, because you didn't ask for that, but you asked for wisdom, then I'm going to give it to you. And he gives him a lot of other stuff as well. So Solomon gains all this wisdom, and we see it laid out in Proverbs, this book of wisdom. And when we see it in Proverbs 3, I want you to look at Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. We're going to see here where we can get wisdom from. We're going to hit it fast, so get ready to go. Here we go. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4, and it's going to give you and me, it's going to give us a command, and it's going to give us a reward. So you can even write down C and R right next to the verses of Scripture, and I'll tell you what they are. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. That's command. Verse 2, here's the reward. For they will bring you many days and a long life and well-being. Number 3, verse 3, command. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck and write them on the tablet, second time, of your heart. That's important. Verse 4 is the reward. Then you will find favor and high regard with God and people. When we go through, we'll see the rest of them in verse 5 as well. But let's take verses 1 through 4. Here's what he's getting to. He wants us to saturate your life in wisdom. He's saying, I want you to saturate your life in wisdom. I don't want you to forget. I want you to remember. Do you remember last week, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1? In your youth, remember your creator. And he's saying, I want you to not forget these things of wisdom. I want you to understand my teaching. And I want you to take it to my heart. See, wisdom comes from God. It comes from God's people. It comes from God's church. It comes from God's word. It comes from the Lord. So if we're going to gain wisdom, then we're going to have to get it from God. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, and he will give without reproach. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it says something so clear. It says, Jesus Christ is the power of God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says that Jesus is the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. It's all hidden in him. So how are we going to get wisdom? We all want wisdom. See, wisdom, a wise person learns from the experience of others. An ordinary person learns by his own experience. And a fool learns by no one's experience. So we want to learn wisdom by not just going through things, but being able to see what others have gone through and what God has for us with this. You've heard an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, let me tell you what, a proverb a day keeps the foolishness away. And we need wisdom in our parenting, in our workplaces, in our lives. We need wisdom. So he says, I want you to bind it around your neck. I want you to put the loyalty and faithfulness of God around your neck, and it'll be like a tablet on your heart. Think of a pendant, ladies. Where does it lay? It lays right there on top of your heart. And so that heart to say, I want wisdom in your heart. He tells us three times, it's not about your head. It's about your heart. It's about what you're doing in your life with your heart to allow God to do something in your life. Bind God's word around you. Write God's word in you. And you will find that you will see God's wisdom live through you. Hear that again. Bind God's wisdom around you. Memorize, put God's wisdom in you. And you will see God's wisdom live through you. And many of us, we want great wisdom, but we don't want to bind God's word around us. We don't want to bind God's word in us. We just want to kind of catch it on the fly. And you're not going to catch it on the fly. Here's what he's saying to us. Get wisdom in your life before you need wisdom in your life. Young people, listen to me. Get wisdom in your life before you need wisdom in your life. And many of us, we're like, oh man, I'm doing great. I don't need God. I can do whatever I want. And then we get wham, something happens. We go through a trial. We're like, oh my goodness, I need wisdom right now. Lord, give me wisdom. I need it quick. I need it like a microwave. I need it like Amazon Prime. I need it right now, right there, here, fast. Drop it with a drone, Lord. I need you to give it to me. And instead, let wisdom be always something that's percolating in your life. For the last 25 to 30 years, almost every day, I have prayed asking God for wisdom and leadership in my life every day. Lord, give me wisdom, give me leadership. Give me wisdom, give me leadership. I want you to lead me. I want you to help me lead others. Give me wisdom, give me leadership. It's what Solomon's saying. He's in over his head. He's about to become king. Do you ever feel in over your head? Or should I say, have you felt in over your head yet today? Because we all need wisdom and we got to get it before we need it. You want it in the pantry before it's time to cook. And when you get wisdom in your life, you're not waiting for a crisis or a moment of desperation. You're ready for it. Example from my life just yesterday, last night. Here's what I do. I prepare the messages. I get them ready. It's awesome to be able to do that. And then I get it ready by Thursday at noon is my deadline. So I can have a weekend with my family and be able to spend time, not be working on the message the whole time. So that's how we get it printed out for you to take notes in here. So Thursday at noon, I don't mess with it on Friday. I don't mess with it on Saturday. And then about Saturday night, I go, I probably should look over that one more time. You know, Thursday is a long time. So I go into my home study that I have there and I get just what you see here, my computer, my notes, my Bible. And I literally, and I've done this, my family can tell you for decades, I get on my face before the Lord. I lay down flat before God. This is on the floor. I'm on the floor and I'm on my face before God. I'm asking God, okay, is this what you want? Is this right? What do we need to move? How do we need to change things? So I got it just like I wanted it to be. Like I felt like the Lord wanted it to be. And I said, oh, this is awesome. I got on my computer. I hit print. I heard the printer go, zzz, zzz, one page. Beep, beep, beep. No paper. Okay. There's no paper in the entire house. I cannot find paper in the house. And I didn't want to put it like on cardstock or something type thing going through. And so I have more than one sheet of paper here. And so I was at 8:30 last night at Walgreens buying paper to feed into the printer, right? I didn't have paper when I needed it. Hey, it's one thing to not have paper when it's time to print. It's another thing to not have wisdom when it's time to parent. It's one thing to not have paper when it's time to print. It's another thing to not have wisdom when it's time to decide over sin or righteousness. It's not a real convenience to not have paper when it's time to print. But if you don't have guidance from God when it's time to choose the direction for your life and you lack wisdom, that's a whole different ball game. So what Solomon's saying, he says, saturate your life. I want you to have paper stacked up so when it's time to print, we're ready to go. We don't have to go run into Walgreens real quick to get it. We got it right here and it's ready and the pantry's filled with wisdom. That's what he's saying. Get the wisdom before you need it and have it in your heart and your life so then you've got an opportunity to use it and to put it forward. Now, he's going to give us another thing here, and this is the most famous verse of Scripture in our little passage that we have here. It's found in verse 5. In verse 5, he's going to give us another principle here in verse 5. You probably know this one. Here's the command. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's the command. Now, here's the reward. And he will make your path straight. Verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Command. Verse 8, this will be healing for your body and strengthening your bones. Verse 9, here's the command. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first produce of your entire harvest. Here's the reward. Then your barns will be filled and completely filled, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Verse 11, here's the command. Don't despise the Lord's instructions, my son. Don't loathe his discipline. Here's the reward. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves as a father disciplines the son whom he delights in. So he's saying this, devotion to God puts us in a position to gain wisdom. Devotion to God puts us in a position to gain wisdom. How do you get wisdom in your life? You get wisdom in your life by having your heart leaning towards the Lord, having your heart dependent on the Lord. Now he's going to give us three things that are going to come together. First of all, he's saying depend on God. Depend on God. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will make your path straight. So he's saying, first of all, I want you to depend on God. Think of it like this. Wisdom is the rudder of your sailboat, and trust is the sail of your sailboat. So we don't just put up a sail and just say, oh, blow me wherever you want to, God. We have a sail that's giving us power and direction. That's our trust in the Lord. But we have a rudder that's giving us guidance, and that's our wisdom before God as well. So he's saying, I want you to depend on God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that word trust is the word, the Hebrew word for lean. So you're leaning on something. And then he doubles down on it. He says, trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord with all your heart, and lean not, doubling down, on your own understanding. And then the next verse, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Don't be wise in your own eyes. So he's saying, I want you to lean on the Lord. Charles Ryrie says it like this, to put all your strength on God. Even this has got a little bit of strength on my body. He says it's this, trust has the idea of laying helplessly face down. Trust has the idea of laying helplessly face down. So he says, be humble, lean on your own understanding. Fear the Lord. Fear God, it says in the next part of the verse. And it says, then you will have wisdom in your life. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Do you remember last week I told you Timothy Keller's definition of fearing the Lord? Here's what he says. He says, the fear of the Lord is not terror. Instead, it is a life-rearranging, joyful awe. A life-rearranging, joyful awe and wonder before God. So that's what we want to fear. I want a life rearranging, God, you're in charge, joyful awe and wonder. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we want to fear God and we want to pray for wisdom that God would make our path straight. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Straight. And God will make your path straight. Now, just this past week, we went to go take my son to dinner. And so we got on the road and headed up 290. We were on Highway 6 and there was construction barrels. And that's really familiar to Houston people, right? We understand construction barrels. We live with those. You know, when we get to heaven, how we're going to know what part the Houstonians go to? It's going to be a street of gold with construction barrels on it. That's what it's going to be. And be like, man, this is an awesome street of gold, but I recognize those orange barrels. Those are really great. And then all the Houstonians in heaven are going to make that right turn on a street of gold, construction barrels, and then we're going to see taillights. We're just going to stop in traffic. And we're going to go, we're home. We're home. This feels right to me. This feels good to me. So we're cruising along. Everything's great. No problem. We're driving. I'm driving. Kelly's in the car, and we're cruising along and it goes to one lane, construction barrels on the right, grass to the left. We're driving, no problem. And this car in front of us begins to drift and just to begin to move like this over here. And I'm backing up, you know, or not backing up, but hitting the brakes to kind of pull back, less space between us or more space in between us. And so they're going, and I'm going, oh man, watch it. Oh no. Oh, look what's about to happen. Look what's about to happen. He's just drifting and veering and swerving off to this way. Just a small little, not a big jerk, just a little drift off this way. And I'm watching it happen. I'm like, oh, he's going to hit that barrel. He's going to hit that barrel. And he looks up right as he's about to hit the barrel. Here's what I think happened. I think he did this. The way it looked, he just did this. Students, be aware. Adults, hey, let's be aware too, right? We're all guilty. And he just drifted and he hit that barrel. When he hit that orange barrel, the orange barrel flew in the air. He swerved back. I didn't know if he was going to start spinning or go in the ditch, or I didn't know what was going to happen. So I'm trying to get as far away from him as I can. He hits the orange barrel. It goes in the air, and there's a black base on the bottom of those orange barrels. And that then goes up in the air. As he drives over it, it flips up in the air, and it's headed straight at us at this point. If I can't go this way, there's a ditch. I can't go this way, there's a barrel. So we're just slowing down. The thing goes, and it lands right at the bottom of the front right of our car. Bam, we hit it and drive right over it. We pull over to a gas station. Look, I was ready for a pop tire at the front, and this is what we saw on the front of our car. So that was the front of our car, but hey, praise the Lord, it didn't hit our windshield, right? I mean, another 2 feet, and that's coming in the car. And so here we have all of this happening. Now, was that my fault at all? Absolutely not. I want to say that again. Absolutely not, okay? If you're my insurance agent, absolutely not. But it comes and it flips. But here's what I want you to hear. Your lack of wisdom can affect somebody else's life. Your swerve can affect somebody else's life. Mom, your lack of wisdom can affect somebody else's life. Dad, grandfather, employer, your lack of wisdom can affect somebody else's life. And every one of us in this place and online as well has had some type of effect. We didn't hit the barrel. Somebody else's lack of wisdom hit the barrel, but we got some of the consequences of that. And we got some of the pain of that. And so when we pulled over, here we are with our car's a mess because of somebody else's lack of wisdom. So I looked at the car and I thought, man, I can fix this thing. I know how to fix cars. Here's what I did. I got that metal or that plastic white part. I went, boom, and tried to knock it back in. I was like, I'm not paying thousands of dollars for that. My whole car is plastic. I'm going to knock this thing back in and get it back. Okay, good enough. It won't fly off on the rest of the drive. So finally we got it fixed. Somebody fixed it for us. It was great. But I didn't do anything, but I had to go through all the fix it of things that are happening. And you may have to go through counseling for something that's happened in your family. You have to be deeper in the word than 99% of the rest of this room because you need Jesus so deeply because the barrel's been smashed so greatly. And I'm just telling us, nobody's perfect. I'm not, you're not. But I'm just telling us, we have to walk in wisdom because our lack of wisdom can affect other people in a great way. He says, I want you to depend on God. Number two, I want you to honor God. I want you to honor God. What's the beginning of verse 9? It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with your produce, your first produce of your entire harvest. Now, we don't totally get this because this is an agrarian type of thing going on here. Right? We're city folks. We don't know. We don't have barns in the backyard. We don't understand what it means. Our first produce or our harvest, all these different things. Here's what he's saying. I want you to honor the Lord with everything in your life. I want you to give God your first and your best. I want you to trust him with the rest. Now we could go off an entire giving message on this. This is a part of what this is saying with our finances, that we give to the Lord first. We want to give to the Lord at the first part of the month, not the ending of the month. We don't want to be like, Lord, I'm going to see if I can make it through. Then I'm going to give to you. Here's the deal. I'd rather eat leftovers than give God my leftovers. I'd rather eat leftovers than give God my leftovers. Oh, the Lord's done so many great things for all of us. How could we hold back? My goodness, you think you got all this because of you? God wants our first, but I'm not going to just state the whole giving thing. We've done a lot of that with Kainos. I want you to see the security that he provides, though. Then your barns will be filled and your vats will be filled. And he's saying this to an agrarian person, that means I'm going to take care of you and you are going to be secure. You see that? You see how a farmer could say, the barn's filled, that gives me security. And we right now, folks, are in a very insecure place in a financial aspect of the global world, the geopolitical world. It's who knows? Do you know what gas will be next week? I don't either. And there will be so many opportunities for us to be very insecure. And I'm telling you, if you honor God, you can walk in security. I'm not talking about giving only. I'm talking about in your life to honor the Lord and say, God, you're going to take care of me. If gas is 10 bucks a gallon, nobody wants that. God's still going to take care of us. And the Lord's going to do what he wants to do in our lives, and we can trust in him. So he says, if you want to walk in wisdom, you got to store it up. You got to get ready for it. You got to have a mind for it. You got to have it saturating your life with God's word, God's people, God's wisdom. And then you're going to realize you can walk in security so you can honor the Lord in everything that you have and everything that you can do. Do you know that you and I make 35,000 decisions a day? According to Cornell University, did a research project, we make 35,000 decisions a day. Now, this is kind of funny. We make 226.7 decisions a day just on food. Isn't that interesting? 227 decisions basically on just on food. So we walk up to the rodeo and we're like, fried Twinkie, fried Oreo. Yes, that's what it is, right? No decision needs to be made, right? Just take it all the way. The question is not, do you want dessert? Of course I want dessert. The only question is, am I going to get dessert? That's the only question, right? So we have all of these questions. What if in those 35,000 decisions a day, you decided right there at the beginning of each day by spending time in God's word, I want to decide for you today, God. I want to honor you in every decision I make. I wanted to honor you in every decision I make. Number three, he tells us, be teachable. Depend on God, honor God, and then lastly, be teachable. It says, do not despise, in verse 11, the Lord's instruction, my son. Don't loathe his discipline, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, just as a father disciplines a son whom he delights in. Be teachable. Warning, there will come discipline things in your life. But God doesn't do that to punish you. He does that because he loves you. He's trying to develop you. He's trying to shape you. He's trying to make you into the man or woman that God wants you to be. And if you're not teachable, you're not going to walk in wisdom. Are you teachable? Have you heard something in this very message that you thought, I need to work on that? That's true. Will you do it? Are you teachable? Do you come to church to check the box, or do you come to church to check your heart? Do you desire to learn, or you just desire to get to lunch? God wants a teachable group of people. And I'm telling you, God, you put a teachable person in God's hand, he can do miracles with that person. I know every employer would say this, you give me a teachable person. Here's the way I like to say it. Hire the heart and teach the skill. I'd rather a person with the right heart that we can develop the skill than somebody with great skills with a heart that's hardened and wrong. And every employer's felt that. Everybody's sensed that before. You got somebody, anything, knock it out. But they're a jerk. And nobody likes them, and they cause more problems than they solve. Be teachable and allow God to teach your life. Think about what he said just a couple verses before. He said, don't be wise in your own eyes. Let God do something. And when you saturate your life and you honor God, depend upon God, and you become teachable for the Lord, Lord, show me. I want to take notes. I want to read the scriptures. I want to ask questions. I want to learn. I want you to teach me because I need that in my parenting. I don't know what to do all the time. I need your wisdom, God. I need it in my workplace. I need it in my marriage. I need it in my friendships. I need your wisdom, God. And I've been living a life of just when I need it, dear God, please give it to me. Please give it to me. I want to instead be on a journey, on a straight path of walking with you to gain that wisdom in my heart. So I got the paper when it's time to print. And I'm not hitting any barrels driving down the road. And when I'm making 35,000 decisions a day, I'm at least going to try to walk with God through them. And let him do his work. And the last thing will happen, and we're done. What will happen in your life is if you focus your heart for God, you will see his hand for you. If you focus your heart for God, Hope you noticed in verses 1-4, three times it said heart, never said head, never said actions, heart. If you focus your heart for God, and you'll see his hand for you. I mean, everything goes perfect? Nope, never will. But you get about the heart of God through pain, through joy, through wherever you are in life, and that will become a teachable spirit in your heart. And as you get to be a teachable spirit in your heart, and you honor God, and you serve God, and you fear God, and you walk with the Lord, and you just say, Lord, it could be as simple as this, Lord, today I just don't want to hit any barrels, God. Would you just direct my path and keep it straight? Morally, yes, but also in wisdom, I want you to do your work. Lastly, I close with this. What is wisdom? Here's the definition I like to give. Wisdom is having understanding in order to live skillfully. Wisdom is having understanding in order to live skillfully. Wisdom is a moment where in your marriage you think, should I say it or not say it? I just want to just say, as default, don't say it, okay? That's your better path. That's a better one. It's in parenting. It's in the workplace. It's in school. Do I understand where this is going long term so that I can live skillfully and walk with God? Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and here we have his words. Told you at the beginning, I want to end with this. Colossians 2:3, in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. So if you want wisdom, as James says, come and ask and you'll get it in buckets. But who do you go to for wisdom? You come to Jesus. He is the personification of the wisdom of God. So trust him as Savior. Trust him as your Lord. If you know him as Savior, to walk out the path. Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray, calling out to you for wisdom in our own lives, Father. We pray for wisdom in our world. We pray for wisdom for President Biden and our government. We pray for wisdom, God, that Russian leadership would see this as unwise. Ukrainian leadership, we pray for wisdom. But Father, we can't control the world. We're having enough trouble controlling our own hearts and our own homes. So we ask you to give us wisdom. We're in over our head so many places. Put the paper in the printer, Lord, so we're ready. Keep us on the road away from the barrels because we don't want to cause havoc for those behind us. Would you pray right now and just ask God for wisdom through Jesus? Father, as we read through Proverbs this month and read Capture the Moment as well, we just pray that you just download wisdom to us. Let us grow as single adults. Let us grow as students. Grow in wisdom in our marriages, in our parenting. Father, in our pain, may we turn to you. In our joy, may we turn to you. Give us godly, eternal wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.